now listening to Sleep Time Sober.
Listen up, everybody, as you tune to this podcast. Sleep Time's Over, come closer to get the raw facts. Zach Moore's hosting on the show, for sure. Reporting live from July, that's a dope, you know. Talking reminiscing about the good old days in the now. Sipping on that old-fashioned at the room at Eyebrow. That's your location worldwide on your stereo deck. On your phone, on the pad, but guaranteed all fresh. Reviewing music and the nuisance that the media miss. But got the blueprint with the newness that the people will take. Good old America ain't ready for that island of slang. Sleep Time is over, give a toast up to the rest of the gang. To your tribe or the vibe or the click on the mission. Suggest you dive cause we live on transmission. Listen, he got the voice that got the locals on vote. Text more from air, but for now, lock it in for the show.
Sleep Time's Over! Tonight's guest, comedic legend Mr. Daryl Bonilla. We got the Bunsen and Beaker of Barley and Yeast, the Geeks from Beer Lab. On the ones and twos, DJ Freeze, Sommelier to the Stars, Mr. Sky Cameron, and your host tonight, DJ Zach Morris. Beer, 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 beer.
Always good to nail the slap there.
There you go.
Welcome to the program that we call Sleep Time's Over.
Always an incredible intro.
He's done right every single time. The five mic intro is what they call
the
it.
The five mic intro for
hashtag
sure.
Hashtag that one.
Definitely.
DJ Freeze is back again. Our
DJ Freeze in the house.
Musical director. Once again, the Doc Severinsen of the references that no one will know. And Sky, how's it going, man?
We're pretty good.
Continuing
man. We're
on with the month of July here.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
Weekend. What happened on the weekend? Well, I gotta say right off the bat, pre-weekend. That on Friday I celebrated what they call the anniversary, not of the show, but of the marriage is what they call it.
Oh, congratulations!
Hashtag marriage. 4 year anniversary.
That's for love, right there.
As I looked at her to make sure I got the right number, right? So I was on a Friday this past Friday, and of course you know when they have an anniversary, when a couple has an anniversary, they do something where they go out to dinner is what they call it, right? Mm-hmm. And can you take a guess what restaurant, as you know that I frequent establishments around the town,
right.
Can you guess what restaurant was chosen that we went to for dinner?
Oh, are we going off the restaurant where you've had your first date? Because I think I remember what that one was.
You do?
Wasn't it Osagio's?
No.
Oh, what was your first date?
Thanks a lot, Paul France. The first date was seeing Max Payne, the movie Max Payne.
Oh, right.
God-awful movie. With Mark Wahlberg.
Where'd you guys eat?
We did not. We met at the theater.
Wow, that's
true. We met at okay. I can just meet you there.
Yeah.
And then we met.
Your mom dropped you off.
Yeah.
Hurry up. I gotta go.
That was like 2008. Yeah, so that we
52 bus.
Had the phone still. We had texting. Well, if you don't have any guesses. You don't have any guess of all the places that I go to for a restaurant. You have no. Think of her in mind too, as well.
Right.
Think of the at
California
Honey Wahine.
Pizza Kitchen.
Close.
Okay, here we go. I'm figuring chain, easy, not Chili's. You're not a Chili's kind of people.
You see, Sky. Honey Wahine, as she's known.
Okay.
She's a simple gal.
Yeah.
Simple taste.
Old Spaghetti Factory.
That's a little too simple.
Oh.
Okay.
The rule is she'd never eat at a place that has old and factory, you know.
She might.
Beginning and ending there.
Let's just cut to the chase. She wanted to get food from an establishment that is a dear to her heart from back in the day. Her top two, that's too far. Her top two places
it's gotta be in town.
Were Subway and Panda Express.
Oh man.
So I asked her, what kind of food do you want? You can look at me all you want. You told me to bring this up, so you can't be getting upset at this. You can look at everybody. I'm going to look right here, and I'm going to look at everybody here.
Lori, I'm all for love.
Looking for love in all
but
the
I'm
right
all,
places.
I'm not with Panda Express.
She wanted Panda Express. I say, okay, I haven't eaten there. I don't know when. She goes there like for fast food.
Yeah.
She goes after she goes, you know, to the mall, you know,
right.
what the gals do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I've never really ordered there in years. I have no idea what the hell she's getting. I don't know what's going on. So I have to go look online and look at this menu to be like, what can I get, you know, from this menu to get from Panda Express? They have a thing here, FYI people, there's a thing called the family feast. All right, for people that like orange chicken. Family feast, you get two entree, two sides, three entree, two sides, $30. That's like two drinks, like, for me, like, somewhere else. So I'm like, this is amazing. I'm like, we're going to get the family feast. Look at this. It's amazing. So cheap, yeah. So, of course, there's a drive-through on King Street. I didn't have time. So, like, you know what? Bite squad them. Yeah. Bite squad. Family feast. Let's go. Oh, wow. Orange chicken. There's, like, 8 different versions of chicken here. There's only the chicken and then Beijing beef. So we get the orange chicken. We get the blackened pepper chicken. You eat. When's the last time you've been there? You
know, Panda Express?
Yeah.
20 years.
There you go. Good answer. So blackened pepper chicken. Then we got beef broccoli. You know, Howleys, they like that kind of stuff. So and, you know, wife's Asian. So we get that. And then we get the chow mein, chow fun, the family feast on Friday. Family feast Friday. Triple F.
Wow. I can add another F to that one.
Yeah.
Fail.
Add the UCK to that as well. I'm just saying it was whatever. It. We got to appease, you know what I'm saying? Happy wife, happy life. So she got the Panda Express. We're content. Everything is good in the world. Everything is all right. It was okay. Mm-hmm. It, you know.
You didn't have an MSG attack or anything like that?
Do they still use MSG in 2019?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, most definitely.
Just checking.
We were in a Vietnamese restaurant, and the lady who was having pho or ordering pho, she was like, you don't have MSG in this pho, do you? And the Vietnamese lady, just classic, she goes, oh, you don't like MSG, you shouldn't eat pho then. Because it's all MSG.
Well, ultimatums. But we did that on Friday. We actually are going to go to shout out to the person who said, I think that was you, Russ, Senya. We're going to go to Senya. Shout out.
No, that's a real date.
We're going to go get a real dinner. But that was on the actual day we did the Friday Panda Express. I don't eat any of that shit, so you can go and talk to the wife. Now they gave us like 10 fortune cookies. They were ready to go to give us fortune cookies.
That's awesome.
I didn't. I refused. I just had enough chow mein. I was like, not for ready, and that's it.
Well, if we're doing the pre-weekend thing on Friday, right. I stood by my word and I stopped by our previous guest, Perv Donuts. Pervay.
You did go to Pervay Donuts.
I did go, and
everybody was pissed off.
And I bought one of everything.
Okay, good. Well done.
And it's super easy ordering online. You can order all the donuts online, made to order. They actually call you, like, you know, 5 minutes before you order to let you know that the donuts are in the fryer.
Oh, they're calling you on the phone?
Yeah, they called me on the phone.
Somebody actually called you up. Well, like,
I told them, I'm going to pick it up at 1 o'clock on Friday. And then 12:55, my phone's ringing, and it says Pervay Donut Shop. And I was like, oh, how's these guys? They cannot wait or what? Like, and they were just calling me to tell me that my donuts were in the fryer, and they're going to be warm and ready to go.
Was that Brion who decided to call?
I don't know. It's awesome, right, though. I, you know.
Well, shout out to the guys at Pervay for last week. Yeah. That was a fun show last week.
Yeah. It was an awesome show. Awesome show.
Shout out to those guys.
So I bought one of everything. Yeah. So we bought a full dozen. Brought it to the office. 5 Mike donuts all the way.
There you go.
Killer. The favorite of the crowd was the Hulk Smash, which was the mint glaze with the Oreo crumble.
Right.
And then the Ono Grinds, which was the chocolate glaze with coffee, ground coffee.
That I had as well, yeah.
That was really good.
It's good stuff. Killer. It's good stuff. Yep.
Love it. Shout out to those guys.
That was a good one last week.
So what happened on Saturday? Did you have social sushi Saturday again?
All right.
Okay. Here we go.
So I wanted to kill this thing off because it just really is a pathetic waste of time at this point. But for the people that may have followed this program, I try to do once a month where I make a reservation for sushi. You know, I like sushi, all right? You know, can you blame me?
Okay. No. It's my favorite, too.
You know, I just would like to have sushi. So I decided to have, I make a reservation for two and see if someone would humbly join me for sushi at the place known as Izakaya Uosan.
Let's also mention the wife does not like sushi.
Right, right. So the reason why I do this, she does not eat sushi, the wife. She does not eat fish. Just Panda Express. So because of that, we so you see how the scheduling goes. Scheduling, Friday, Panda Express. Take care of it. Leaving. Social Sushi Saturday, which I forgot I made the reservation for. I realized on Wednesday of last week that I made this reservation because usually I make these reservations at the end of the night when
advance.
I'm like on
you
bottle
do,
three
you do
of
like
sake.
A month in advance,
right, so I'm not of clear mind, but I did put it in the calendar. So that's how I knew this thing was in there. I was like, how did I put this in the calendar? So I confirmed it. Had a reservation. What am I to do? Am I just going to sit, and which I've been going on for the last several months. I sit by myself, and I sit there, and then I film. Do the IG story boomerang as the kids do, and I just boomerang the chair being empty.
I see you filming every
eating
piece of
sushi by myself, and gosh, don't judge. And then we're doing that, but I had someone join me.
That's right.
I had someone come in the clutch.
Right.
And she's been there before, so yeah. Shout out to what can we call her? What can we give her a nickname? Jamie. That's it.
Yep.
Japanese Jamie. Japanese Jamie.
There you go.
There you go. We got a moniker just like that.
JW.
And she joined for the social sushi Saturday. And this was a thing. And it was crowded at the Izakaya Osan. For anybody that hasn't gone there yet, Kapiolani.
Yep. Next to Boulevard. Gokaku.
Next to Gokaku. Local people's fave.
Next to the marine enrollment, unless you want to eat some sushi and enroll.
If you really
want to
just change your life, yeah, you can go enroll in the Marines. And speaking of the local people, so it was packed in there. Table of 20 coming in. All the local people are in there. Looked like Pro City, at least IAEA was there. And then all of a sudden, all the men sat on one table, and then all the women sat on the other table. So it looked like some kind of odd social party or something. Like, I guess they're all married, I don't know. But they're all there, one table. Of course, we knew a couple of them. So, oh, how's it going? How are you guys doing? Yeah. And then, like, how come you guys are sitting on one table and not sitting? And we like talk to the wife. And you do that. And I'm like,
wow.
So is that really a thing? The local people, you know, they just don't want to talk to their wives.
Bruh.
Right, Cavett? And then all the women, they're all sitting there. And then they're all just talking about, I don't know, whatever. You know, what's their problem? And then the other guys are just sitting there, they're all staring at each other. And, you know, I'll have a beer. And then it was just so odd. Like, have you encountered something like this before? You've been in a big party.
That's like part of my Japanese side family. That's pretty much what it is. None of the older aunties and uncles want to sit with each other.
Kind, like
they get to the party and they all split up.
Right. It was just
all the aunties
bizarre.
In the kitchen and all the uncles on the patio or alumni.
And then you have an advancement with phones. So then all the women are on their phones looking down, and then all the guys are just like staring around like this, doing this kind. No one's talking. There's not much of any conversation going on. So one of the guys decides to come up and, like, we know of him because used to work at HMSA, and that's where I used to be at. So I remember this guy. And he comes up, and he's like, oh, so we do the classic local question where we drag out a topic way too long than it should be. So he's like, oh, when you worked at HMSA? Oh, it was like a couple years ago I left. Oh, when was that the same time I was there? I'm like, I don't know. When was that? It was like a couple, 3 years ago, right? Yeah. Hey, Glenn, check him. Glenn.
And it just, you go.
You work at HMSA too. What year you was? What year you was? You was over with me. We worked together a while. That's a 5-10 minute conversation of whether or not we worked at HMSA or not. And that was a conversation, a legit conversation with the local people. And that's a thing. We really overemphasize things that are pointless. And I don't get it. And it was very exciting. It was worse than the high school question. No, it's worse. Because we're excited about where we used to work at. And we made that a conversation because everything else was not going well, not going entertaining at all. So.
Yes, as you know, I used to work at the Long's Drugs.
They're going to do the same thing.
6 years.
Right. You're going to run into somebody from Long's
Drugs. Then I run into them. Right. They want to talk about when we worked at Long's Drugs. But I'm like, how about we just talk about what you're up to now, man?
Correct. It's a thing. I mean, I don't know why.
Remember the green smock?
Freeze, you talk about past, like, where you used to work back in the day,
I don't know.
Before you know, became the DJ star that you are.
Dae.
Oh, holiday mock.
Dae Kailua was my first job. Oh, bagging groceries. Let's go.
That's right. Yep,
that's right.
Let's not forget Freeze. Kailua's own.
That's the holiday mart days.
Before they separate from us.
It was Dae Holiday Mart.
Come on, one word.
It was all one.
Okay, fine.
And then sushi was good as always.
It's always on point. If anybody who has not gone there, always.
Well, I'm glad you didn't go alone. I'm glad you didn't go alone.
I did not go alone. I did not cry.
So, speaking of overpriced food, I found myself at the Lotus Hotel on Saturday for the new pop-up restaurant. I don't know if you heard of it, called TBD.
No, that's at the former W Hotel. Right?
It's the former W.
Right.
Right. It's called To Be Determined. It's the chef Vikram, who was the chef over at La Mer at the Hali Kulani. Vikram.
Did he do yoga after?
He's an Indian guy.
Vikram.
Yeah, he's an Indian guy, man.
Was it getting hot in there too?
Yeah, no.
Shout out Nelly.
I guess I would describe the food as like it's bistro style food, but with an Indian Middle Eastern twist.
Okay.
Right.
And what was your take on that?
Here's how I break it down. So 3.5 mics out of 5 for food.
Okay.
I'd say four mics for service. Service was excellent.
Okay.
I'm going 2 mics for value.
Two mics for value.
So total mic is 3 mics.
What designates the value?
So I mean, food is really good. They're baking their own naan bread, flatbreads in the house. They're doing everything in like the tandoor oven.
Right.
But it's everything you get in like a quality Indian restaurant. But because it's handcrafted, you know, we're paying $16 for naan.
Wow.
I don't want naan of that. Oh, oh.
That's naan happening, bro.
I know. That was, that was an awful one. Yeah. I felt that one. That was brutal.
You felt the naan.
But anyways, they call it to be determined because basically that restaurant will only be there for 18 months and then it'll be moving to another hotel. Oh. And it's gonna be a traveling pop-up thing. But it was packed house.
Yeah.
Yep.
What kind of people?
It was all doctors, lawyers. I was there with Steve Shibutani. Shout out Steve from Sushi E, my chef buddy.
Oh, yeah. We got to get that guy on.
I had dinner with him and some friends over there. And then Steve was looking around. He was like, oh, man, this is like all the heavy hitters.
All the heavy hitters, really.
All the local heavy hitters.
He knows the heavy hitters. He could tell.
Oh, yeah, because it's all the guys that eat at Sushi.
All the guys Sushi, right. That's right.
You know, I don't want to downplay the restaurant because I think, it is good. But I'm just going we spent about 100, 120, 130 per person.
120 per person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pricey.
Should I go there? Would you recommend myself?
I think it's worth it going once. I think it's worth going once because you may have a different take on it. It's Indian. The best thing we ate was like an Indian spice ribeye that he cooks sous vide, in the bag. Yeah. You know, and then he cooks it in that water bath, and then he finishes it in the tandoor oven, so it gets all that flavor and the aromatics.
There you
good,
go.
Man. But I don't know, man.
Sous vide.
A little pricier for me, so.
All right. Well,
all right. Let's move on to other things that have been going on.
That didn't sell it to me, so I'm probably not
going to
go.
All right. Movie and TV reviews. All right, let's go with the news. Me and you both finished Stranger Things 3.
That is correct.
It was awesome.
Yeah. It was better than season 2.
I think it's way better than season 2.
Yep.
I think just a slight touch under season 1, but fantastic. We're not going to do any spoilers.
No spoilers here, but it was a lot. It was a lot darker. It was a lot. Seemed like they went scarier, I guess.
They're referencing fun 80s movies like Red Dawn, The Terminator, The Thing. That was the one scene I could have did without.
Never mind that movie. I don't want to talk about Neverending Story. But okay, it's a trash movie.
Yeah, bigger budget.
Most overrated movie. The 80s.
Bigger budget in terms of visual effects, bigger scale overall. It's amazing how the show has evolved from the first
season. The
horse
in the mud.
But you know what the MVP of the show is for me?
Yeah, it didn't happen. It's not real.
Yo.
Okay. It's special effects. Okay. Yeah.
You know the MVP of the show? It's Steve Harrington, man. Ice cream guy.
Right.
He's hilarious, man.
He's doing all
and
right.
He had the best like character arc from the first season because he was like the dickhead bully guy.
Right. He's got good hair. I respect him.
And Winona Ryder is not as irritating as
previous
seasons.
Did well. Acting was good. Everything was on point. Next season will be the last one, so ended out with a bang. Good stuff. Very entertaining.
Yeah. So what was the mic rating for you? It was 4.5?
I give that 4.5 mics. Yeah. It's a very entertaining series.
I'm giving it a 4. Yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. Really good. Any watch any movies?
We did see on Sunday the Spider-Man. We saw Spider-Man Far From Home.
And what's your rating on that one?
I thought it was fun. I'll go 3.5 mics on that one.
Same as me.
I think, yeah. Okay.
Right.
It was a fun movie. It seemed more serious than the previous one. It didn't seem as, the jokes didn't really hit.
Right.
Like the first one. We don't spoil anything.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I suggest checking it out. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a work checkout.
But it's just not as entertaining as the Homecoming.
Right. And the credit scenes were cool. It's a good... It seems like this puts an end to the whole Marvel, Section 3 or what?
Phase 4. Uptown and Downtown.
All right. Or Hawaiian names, it's Kamakanali or something. Okay. What else we got?
I went to the movies by myself because my girlfriend did not want to watch this movie, but I watched that corny alligator movie Crawl.
Shout out to going to movies by yourself. I like it.
And that was surprisingly really fun. And I had a blast. I give that 3.5 mics. It's really fun.
It looks like a fun movie. Yep. Alligators.
It's over the top. It's gory. It's like turn your brain off. It's super fun. I thought it was. Definitely 3.5 mics. I'll definitely recommend it for like a crappy movie night. It's a great mic to get drunk and watch.
How many people were in the theater when you were watching this?
I would say 16.
That's a bit much. No, you're not. That's not 16. You're lying right now.
On a Friday afternoon.
On a Friday afternoon, 16 people watching Crawl?
Yes.
You sure about this?
All guys that look like me, all single guys by themselves.
Should have just stood up and be like, hey, how you guys doing?
all cutting out of work.
Okay, when
like
you see a when you see a movie by yourself, mm-hmm. where do you sit? Are you sit in the same? Because you sit in the middle for some reason. I don't know.
You sit in the back like
I
a
sit
creeper.
In the back,
the creeper
just like
sit
in the back,
back
of a class, bruh. And then you sit in the back because, as I said, tip wise, auditorium 10 and 9. If you sit in the FF section, the men's restroom is directly behind that FF seat. So if you gotta go shishi doodle, it's right there. 30 seconds in and out. I don't know how long it's gonna take you to make number two, but it's gonna go quickly. Clearly, it's a man who designed the war theater because there's no women's restroom to be found. It's just the men's restroom, strangely, but you're not sitting there.
Yeah. I don't know. Every time we sat in the back of the back row of the theater, there was always like some big Samoan guys and they're opening beers and I'm all nervous.
Can talk story with them. You know, you like the movie or what? All right, so Crawl is worth checking out. I will probably.
So
wait.
Yeah, I would say for you as a horror fan, definitely check out Crawl. All
right.
So all right, we'll move on to any kind of news and topics.
Here we go.
All right, so have you heard of a Facebook event page called Storm Area 51? They can't stop us all.
Yeah.
All right, so I don't know if you know about this, guys, but over 689,000 Facebook users has RSVP'd to an event that's encouraging people to ambush Area 51 and quote-unquote, show us them aliens. So clearly this is a joke site, right? But it's caused such a stir online that celebrities are tweeting about it, and even a representative from the U.S. Air Force has gone on the page and urged people to reconsider their participation in this event.
All right. So this is a joke. You're seriously saying that they made this as a joke? This was a parody.
Well, I mean,
because I thought this was serious.
No one stated it as a joke, but if you got to check the page out, you never check the page out. So if you check the page out and read the description. They basically says we're gonna get there at 3 a.m. And we're all gonna run at the Area 51 together.
No.
And it literally says they can't get us all.
Okay, great. Yeah. Let me tell you something right now. All right. Clearly this is a cultural thing. All right. These are a bunch of guys in their parents' basement, got nothing to do, they got unemployed, they got nothing else to do this rubbish, and they're gonna go and do it. 600,000 people, they're not gonna be there. Maybe get 10 if we're lucky. They're going to go down there looking at each other. Going to be a bunch of like holly hippie guys that haven't showered in a week. And then they're going to look at each other and be like, what are we going to do now? And then that's it. It's clearly those kind of people. Find something better to do it yourself. Get a job. Look at going back to college. Okay. Do something productive with your life. This is a cultural issue. That's it. Moving on.
Right.
No one's going anywhere.
What the fuck is going on here?
No one. Not, only Will Smith's going there.
The ambush is supposed to take place on September 20th at 3 a.m. They have it all on there.
Because they want attention because they got nothing else going on because they don't have a job is what they're doing. They're running around. They're playing Fortnite in the basement eating Pringles. So they want to make an announcement knowing that we're going to do something with their lives, bro. And then they're going to go to this bullshit. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So in Atlanta, a huge traffic jam was caused when an armored truck back door spilled out an estimated $175,000 worth of cash on the highway.
Like
and
it.
A reported 15 to 20 cars stopped in the middle of the road to grab the cash, causing a huge backflow of traffic.
That's right.
There were no fatalities. No one got hit by any cars. And no one has been taken or identified. And the bank is not identifying how much of the $175,000 was recovered.
Okay. But aren't the bills marked anyway when they're in these kind of situations?
I would think so.
So
would you get out of the car if cash is spilling out on the road?
We're going to have to because everybody else in front of us will be stopping their car. So we have no choice but to join in the party. Everybody's parked. Everybody's going to be jumping out. So we're going to be going out there. I'm not going to leave and go back into my car unless I get at least a grand. I think we're looking at minimum
grand.
But
you know what's so funny? Everyone that got out of their car was filming it on IG. So everyone's on
Everybody's
IG.
Arrested.
So the cops are studying the IG videos to identify people.
Oh, come on. I mean.
So I just wanted to know if you would do this. You would jump out
and start
grabbing cash.
Because I'm going to be, first of all, pissed off that everybody stopped in front of me in the freeway.
Right.
So then I'm going to get out of the car and be like, okay, might as well. What the hell? And then I'm going to go out there, get the cash, at least 1,000. Once I get 1,000, back in the car. I'm not going to IG it, but then I'm going to at least get the cash. The bills are marked anyway.
Right.
So we're not going to be able to spend it and go anywhere. So then what? So then that's it. And then we're all just going to look like a bunch of damn fools on Instagram. Again.
All right. And then also in Georgia news, of all places,
this is in
a
Georgia.
Dairy Queen employee was fired for mistaking a Moana-themed birthday cake for a party with a marijuana theme cake.
Wait a minute. Wait. So they told him to make a Moana theme cake.
So the employee of a Georgia Dairy Queen was fired after she misheard the customer's request over the phone and she said her thick Southern accent requesting a Moana cake sounded like marijuana. Marijuana.
Got
I don't
it.
Know.
God, I'm not going to try to imitate that. But
and
I was going to ask you what state this was. This is in
this
Georgia.
This is in Georgia, right.
Okay. Well.
So they took the cake to the party. They did the reveal at the party, and it was a My Little Pony with a marijuana leaf tattooed on its side with another huge marijuana leaf on the cake.
Oh, we're going to put that picture right here.
Yeah,
when
we'll
get
have
the video.
That picture up.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't even see that picture. Wow. So they actually had the theme was My Little Pony. I thought it was going to be just a cake with just a big leaf on
no,
it.
No, but they wanted
but they
Moana. They wanted Moana.
They wanted Moana, but then where did they get the My Little Pony reference?
They probably
from?
Have a My Little Pony cake, and she was like, well.
fuck it. And just get the My Little Pony cake right. And they put the leaf?
And they gave the pony green hair.
I want to know where the My Little Pony cake came from. Like, why did we have a My Little Pony cake ready to go after the panic and confusion of the marijuana Moana? So let's just put a tattoo on My Little Pony.
There's an online petition for this woman to get rehired back by Dairy Queen.
Hey, all right, good. Good. Good employees are hard to find. Good.
All right.
Well done.
Now in white trash news.
Oh, we're staying in the South.
Yeah.
Right.
Police in Alabama are cautioning residents not to flush drugs down the toilet due to the emergence of meth gators.
I like it. Yes. I like it. This is the sequel. This is the sequel to Crawl.
This is a new sci-fi movie, a sci-fi channel movie.
This is Crawl 2.
Right.
New Croc City or something.
It's starring Jason Priestley and Denise Richards.
Wow. Cameo by Wesley Snipes as Nino Brown back.
Yeah, like so, yeah, like Wesley Snipes as the old grizzled sheriff.
Right, Judd
so,
Nelson
yeah,
will come
so
out.
The Loretta Police Department in Alabama has gotten viral attention for posting on social media the dangers of flushing drugs down the toilet if you're in a police raid or search. So the police post that ducks, geese, and especially gators that frequent the ponds and streams will be affected by these flush drugs.
So that's what they said. Just the animals are going to eat them up.
That's what they said.
Makes sense.
We don't need meth gators.
So what does that mean then? So like when we go down to the sewer, like we're going to see like gators bicycling at like 3 a.m. and then like picking up little pieces of trash on their with bad teeth and like, oh, hungry lion. Look at this gator. Look at this fucking gator right here. I mean, we're going to see that. You know, broke the clock going to be a part of this. Like what is going to happen to the gators in the sewer? Like
pilau.
Right. Exactly. Like what is that? I mean, I would like to know the side effects of what's going to happen if the gator does batu. What's going to happen?
So yeah, wow, meth gators. I'll never forget that. All right, in more scumbag of the week news, a university instructor in Canada was fired for allegedly demanding sex, lobster, or moose meat from his students in exchange for grades.
We got some winter stories this week, don't we? Wow. So when you first told me that, I thought that was like sex, lobster, or moose meat. Is that
yes,
what you said?
Yes.
Sex, lobster, or
I
moose
guess,
meat?
You know, moose meat is in demand in Canada.
Wow. That sounds like the latest like Action Bronson album.
So this
right?
is
like,
Cape.
Sex, lobster, or moose meat.
Nice.
New I'll from check, Action Bronson.
I'll
he likes food.
Album.
Sorry. That's a reference. Oh, yeah. But why the lobster or moose meat?
So
do we get that established?
So yet? He would allegedly proposition sex from female students for passing grades. When yeah, sex right. was turned down, he then demanded lobsters
oh, so
and
tier.
Or moose meat.
Oh, it's like three tiers. Oh, so the sex first. Okay, might as well. And then you go seafood then with the lobster. And if no more, then you go game meat.
Yes.
Moose meat. What did he teach? What did this guy, do we know what he taught?
They did not state that on the article. Right. Wow. So I think the university has, obviously he's fired. He has charges pressing against him. So. They're not saying too much. Yeah. They kept his name and his title out.
Okay.
So.
Oh, all right.
So speaking of another kind of trash in Canada, here's something that we can feel good about. So in a recent study done by a global environmental research company, Tempo, it was revealed Canada produces the most waste and toxic waste in the world.
The jig is up, bro. The jig is up, Canada. You guys all trying to be nice, trying to see free health care, come to our state. See? They blew it.
So for 36.7 million people, the country produces 36.1 million tons of waste.
See, all the years of staying neutral, staying friendly, free healthcare, it's all, the jig is up. The jig is up.
Yep.
You know, like Canadians, right? They're like that serial killer where you interview the neighborhood and you're like, oh, he was a good guy. He was quiet. He didn't bother anybody. That's Canada right there. That's Canada, the jig is up.
America came in third. 25.9 tons.
Was that Uruguay or Mexico?
And then number two, oh. Bulgaria.
Bulgaria was number two?
Bulgaria number two.
Wow. Can't think of anything to add to that one.
Yeah. That's pretty good. They produced 26.7 million tons of waste for only 7 million people. That's a lot of waste.
Well, they blew it.
Good job, Bulgaria.
Well, but Canada blew it. Drake blew it. All Toronto right. blew it. That's why Kawhi left, bro.
So let's move on to little local news stories. We'll breeze through these, but I want to see if you have any thoughts on this. Probably biggest story in the news right now local is the protesters on Mauna Kea. Do you have? Do you where do you stand on this issue?
There you go, Freeze. You ready? You Hawaiian? Okay.
You see, well, I see both sides of this thing, but you know, do we need another telescope? I mean,
it's okay. Did they do an environmental impact statement on this whole thing yet? Can we get confirmation they did not? Okay. Doesn't that lead? Isn't that the issue that we need to look at first of all? Is this going to be affected environmentally?
For sure.
Right. They're supposed to have Hawaii's supposed to have access to the land regardless per years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically where they're at with this. Now it's going to be a standstill, right? It's peaceful mm-hmm. demonstration, and there's nobody's getting arrested right now.
At least they come to the agreement with the Hawaiian the government, and no arrests have been made.
Well, I would like to see
just wanted to know if you're for or against this thing, but you're.
I don't really know what the justification is of this telescope is if it's going to be affecting the environment. That's what the thing we have to look at this point.
They're swinging on the news. They're justifying more for jobs. They're saying, oh, it's 140 jobs at the facility and then 300 construction worker jobs.
But how does that affect the environment as a whole?
Exactly.
That's what we need to look at as the environment and the situation. And with all of this, I guess this excitement towards this, we need to look and hopefully make this a thing for next year's election. I think mm-hmm. we need to really come together for that. I think because that's going to be a major heavy hitter next year. It's going to be next year is the election. We need to look at keep this kind of adrenaline going for that because this is going to be a standstill for a while.
Yep.
And I don't know where this is going to end.
I agree.
So that this is a tough one.
I agree. All right. So we'll ask. We can always ask the crowd later.
Well,
I think the crowd's just as divided on
Freeze. Do you have anything to add to this?
Freeze.
Okay.
I'm going to remain neutral because
I plead the fifth.
I mean, I'm Hawaiian. I always, respect the aina and I wanted to remain Hawaiian, but, I don't know.
Okay, bro. That's it, bro.
Bro.
Well put. Yeah. Give them. Okay.
All right. Okay. So we all know how much Hawaii loves Costco.
Yes.
But would you ever consider getting your wedding pictures taken at Costco?
That's not going to happen. No.
So a local couple who have met at Waipahu Costco posted wedding pictures. They took wedding pictures in the aisles of Costco where they met. And then they have now gone viral nationally. They met while she was buying a bulk mac and cheese and posting it on our IG story.
Are you serious?
And he bombed her story and then got the number.
Okay, I'm gonna put a positive twist because I could easily just destroy this one. But I'm gonna say shout out to the guy who had the balls to go up to that female, because how many people are doing that in 2019? So yeah. I give him the credit there. They're getting married. This is their engagement pictures.
They got married, and then this was the
wedding
photo. So it's in their wedding.
This
album.
Is fairly recent, is what this is.
And then they posted on Instagram, and then Costco. Got the pictures because they hashtag Costco.
Of course.
And Costco posted up, and now it's like they're making on national news stories.
Wonderful. Making us look like weirdos. Great. So I just shout out to the guy who had the ball to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm going to say with this. I'm going to go a different angle with this one. You know, Costco Evil A is the number one Costco in America.
That's right.
Isn't it? Right.
It's also the worst Costco to go to.
I'm not going to go there. But
if you want to feel
Club,
suicidal,
bro.
Go there on a Saturday.
Forget it.
Go check it out.
There's no way in hell. Yep. So, yeah. More power to them, whatever. They can stay in Waipahu. That's fine. Yeah. What? Freeze what? Wait. Freeze what? Sam's Club for the win, bro. Sam's Club, and you put the thing, and then Costco. Yeah.
Okay. All right, we have some quick RIPs. Actor Rip Torn, one of our favorite comedic actors from the Larry Sanders
Show.
You're a Larry Sanders Show kind. Also, Men in Black.
Yeah.
You guys remember? He was Patches O'Houlihan in Dodgeball.
Wow.
And then here's a rare one. He was the villain Max in Beastmaster.
Wow.
Remember
that one?
Mark Singer.
Mark Singer, yes. Wow. Ooh. Good call on that one.
And then we didn't mention it last week, but RIP to MLB pitcher Tyler Skaggs.
Yes.
Of the Los Angeles Angels
of Anaheim. Well, we brought that up when Rob DeMello was on for the anniversary show. But they recently had, and I got to bring this up because this is just crazy. During the Angels game after the Angels had their first game after the All-Star break, and the entire team wore his jersey, number 45. And they're one of the stars of the team, Mike Trout, he homered the ball 454 feet. And it's 45 both ways there on that number. They score 7 runs in the first. They have 13 runs total and 13 hits total. Tyler's birthday is 7/13.
Cool.
Right? Now, if you don't believe in spirits, I think it's time to believe them, right? I mean, like, how bizarre is that on that night to have that happen? They won 13-0.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know what to say.
That's and it, I got one it. More. I got one more for you okay, on top of go. That. So in honoring go. Those who passed, we also welcome a baby into the world, the 7-Eleven baby. You heard about this baby?
Hey, all right.
So baby was born in St. Louis on July 11th, 7-Eleven, at 7:11 p.m. and weighed 7 pounds and 11 ounces. Is this is this the Illuminati? An Illuminati baby?
Yeah. He's gonna be this baby is gonna be the one to shut us down. I think. Yeah. Double gulps for the win. They still have double gulps at 7-Eleven. That massive drink.
I think they still have the double gulps.
Freeze, you go to 7-Eleven. You frequent 7-Eleven.
I think they have big drinks, but I don't think that double because that's like that's like diabetes, like.
Well, big drinks. The double cup came in a carton, yes. Yeah. So you get that, you get the quarter pound hot dog, two hot dogs. You used to get two hot dogs and a Mountain Dew that would came out to like $3.99 or $3 something. I always buy that every Saturday before I go watch wrestling. Before I watch WCW Saturday night, I would go watch. I would get two hot dogs and a Mountain Dew. Pointless reference. Okay, what else we got?
Well, that's it. So we got to get to our guests.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Keep it right and tight,
good,
man.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. So. Let's get to it. We have we'll take a break here, but then we got the guys from Beer Lab Hawaii are here.
Yeah,
shout out. Yes, I was there. I was there last night. Great stuff. And then we're gonna have a guy that we were wanting to get on here.
Yeah,
for a while.
Very long time.
Okay, the one himself, Dangerous Daryl Bonilla. Woo! He's gonna be here. So let's take a break. Sleep time's over. We'll be back.
Woo!
Freeze, take us out.
Sleep Time's Over will be right back. Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger.
There we are. We're back and very R&B kind of a night for you, Freeze. Playing all the R&B jams. I gotta say, DJ Freeze, the musical director, the Branford Marsalis of the. It's another reference no one's gonna get. Is Branford Marsalis old too? Really? It was like in the 90s. The rap replinger of DJing, I like that. Is that the case? Wow. Sky, do you have a mic here? What's going on? Oh. Wasn't that mic 4?
I do now.
Mic 4.
Well, we're going to introduce. Oh, here we go. Oh.
You see what goes
so
on?
So many
ladies
mics.
And gentlemen? So many mics. The Fugees. How many mics?
4.
Thanks. All right, before we introduce. There might be 69 mics here. Let's go. News and notes, real quickly. Let's go for the rest of the month here. Next week will be DJ Sub-Zero. He's a
That's
friend
right,
of DJ Freeze behind me here. We're also going to have next in August, we're going to take a break.
Right.
And then we're going to have musical guests. We have John Cozy.
That's right.
We're going to have Jim Hurdle who's going to be on. And did you text Mr. Kyle Rootner yet?
Yes. We're going to lock that
live
in.
Live business meeting right here.
We're going to lock that one
cocktail
in.
Cocktail demonstration with Kyle Rootner.
We're going to lock that one in.
Kohana Rum.
Yes, Kohana Rum.
All right. Text him, bro. Hurry up. Don't just say it. You know, type the. Sorry. Okay. Our first guest is a place that. Now, I'm not a beer person, right, Sky? So I'm a whiskey person. But I went there just the other night, just last night, with a good, longtime, close personal friend, Mr. Uncle Keola.
Yeah.
And we went to the. That's right. Shout out for Keola. He'll be joining us later. We went to Beer Lab University. Super chill spot. Great stuff. These are the owners that are good. They have several locations. We're going to find out all about it. Let's bring them on in. Do we have Freeze? Ready? Is this soft? Here we go. Sorry for the staggered intro. I didn't know when the music was going to come in. I didn't know if Freeze was ready or Freeze was smoking.
It worked,
I don't know.
It worked. Okay, but.
Gentlemen, welcome. Good stuff.
Thank you.
So what created this whole concept? You guys got three locations?
We got three locations now.
Unreal.
What created it?
Quick
quick disclaimer. General manager, not owner.
Ah, there you go.
It's Steve. It's our boy.
Well, it's political. Full discretion. Full discretion.
Okay. All right. Political move. Okay. What was the first? Well, as I was there with, so I was there last night with Keola, and so he was giving me a little brief history of you guys, and so you guys do have a day job as well as running the business here, or how? What's the current situation here?
Recently retired.
Oh wow! Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard.
But
recently retired. But the three of us actually started this thing.
Okay.
Yeah, when we were engineers at the shipyard.
Yeah.
Nuclear engineers there.
Nuclear engineers.
Oh. You know.
Wow. Wait a minute. Okay.
We didn't do much. Don't worry about it.
you know how to make stuff. Is that how that works? The nuclear engineers.
We make stuff.
Wow. See, that should be like a new tagline.
We make stuff.
Beer. Okay.
Nah, but I mean, really.
Now we make beer.
Now. So, okay, so you guys are nuclear engineers, and what created this idea to go into this, to go into?
So we got three partners, myself, Kevin, Taria, and Derek Taguchi. I mean, we all started at the shipyard, but yeah, really, Kevin was living in Milani. He used to run a bunch of triathlons, actually, and he ended up hurting his back or whatever the hell he was doing. And then... Uh-huh. He asked us to come help him brew in his backyard in Milani.
Oh.
So, yeah, we show up. He gives us a beer at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then we lift things. You know, we're brewing out of, you know, Eagle coolers. And as we start to brew more, you take a picture on Instagram and people will, you know, enjoy it. And then you start to see a little more people want to try to taste it. And then it ended up being, hey, we want to create a bar in university area, like where we can just have all of our friends come in and just kind of.
Okay, so that was the first location.
University first location.
Got it. Okay. That was one that we went to. It's an excellent spot. For anybody who hasn't gone, it's total chill. Great stuff. It was, what time do you guys open?
So we open 4 o'clock there, 12 o'clock on Saturdays.
Yeah. Great stuff. So as I was going there, I got dropped off at the wrong place. So I don't follow directions. So I go, and I got dropped off by Raising Cane's, and I'm walking around and I'm like, I don't know where am I supposed to stay. I was like totally holly right now. I was like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I was like, is that across the street? Oh shit! And it's right there. It used to be where the old. Is that the old Bank of Hawaii?
Old Bank of Hawaii.
Right, right. So then so Kilo was telling me about the vault is still there. You guys originally had the beer made there.
We're literally brewing in the vault.
Wow. Oh, how's you guys? So from there.
Money.
Right. What was the second location after that then? So after that took off. What?
Yeah, so the second spot was actually Waipio. We grew out of the production size that we could do at university, so we needed to open a bigger production spot, so that's out in Waipio.
Oh, gotcha. And then the third one?
Pearl Ridge Mall.
There we go.
There you go. That's Pearl Steve. Ridge.
Shout out Uptown,
shout
Downtown.
Out Pearl Ridge Mall.
Whatever it's called now, Hawaiian name. Okay. Wow, okay. So the Pearl Ridge, when did that open?
November.
Wow.
Brand new.
Wow.
Killing it.
Apparently, I mean, you got nice. Three of them. Okay, so what do you consider, since you guys are engineers, the formula? Is there any type of, without having to reveal like the secret ways of how you brew the beer, but is there kind of a formula that you kind of went with and then just went from there and then led to one beer after the other? And
I mean, not really. The concept that we keep thinking about is like, hey, you know, let's learn the science behind all of it.
Right.
And you know, and
nuclear.
Then, there you go. But now, then, you know, let's continue to try to, you know, use that science side to create new and better and better and better and better beers. And if we keep iterating and try to get better, hey, we're going to get to somewhere that we feel like we're going to be stoked with on beer.
So I wanted to have you guys on to discuss, as give us like a tutorial on beer, because, well, Sky, are you a beer drinker?
No, not so much. I just probably not educated enough, because I probably was drinking, you know, like people give me a lot of like hoppy IPAs, which I don't think are my thing, but you know, I'm a wine guy, right? So I sell wine for a living, sell wine, taste wine.
Yeah,
and
simple
sure
no
beer,
would be fine, Sky.
I'm sure
it's fine.
Beer.
Freeze.
Jesus.
You drink.
You gotta try the sours.
We're trying to get some information from these gentlemen here.
You asked
me, us your
man.
Life story here. You just say, jeez, no, I don't
you
drink
just
beer.
Asked me.
Freeze, how you doing with beer? Are you a beer guy, Freeze?
Oh, yeah, Heineken all day.
This is what you're working with right now. So that's why I wanted to have a tutorial to explain to us.
I guess we're back at Pearl
Whiskey
Ridge.
Guy, you have a wine guy, you got a Hawaiian. So how would you explain, like, as far as going down different types of bars, beers, as far as like a dark beer versus a light beer, the IPA and hops, what would be like a 101 of beer for us uneducated guys?
Now, you know, it's super interesting. So, like, especially when you say that, that's why I started drinking. Sorry, Roosevelt grad. Rough hey, Riders.
Shout out. False crack medevac.
But now, like, the first thing that I was drinking was Heineken, you know, and then it was, where do you drink it? You know, we drink in our friend's yard up Glen under the mango trees, and that's the culture that we learned to drink in. So when we started to go into this beer venture, it was, hey, so it got to be something that relates to that, right? So I'm not going to make your super bitter, blow your mind out IPAs that you can't really drink because it's hot as hell. So we're going to make something that fits our palate here in Hawaii. So again, like, you know, what really started all this thing? Okay, so you want the general breakdown?
Yeah.
You soak grains in water, make sugar water, take sugar water, throw yeast on it, throw some hops, it's beer.
Hey,
there you go.
Right.
Hey.
Simple.
Simple, wow. simple.
So what is the trend of the dark beer, like, being like the hipster thing? Like, how did that become a situation?
You want that one? All right. So, you know, beer, and I mean, dark beer.
Yeah.
It got to be a certain way to drink it here. You know, so there's a big thing called, you know, pastry stouts right now. Big, sweet, heavy alcohol.
Yeah.
If I'm sweating, man, you know, it's hard to drink it. So, that is a really big craze, you know, across the U.S. right now. And it's just boozy. And it's boozy awesome. It's, you know, it's like a great cocktail. Sometimes, you know, if there's no AC, it's hard to drink.
Oh, okay.
So, with stout, I mean, porter, stouts, all that side of it, it's really, is the community, the culture ready for it? And Hawaii, you know, it's hot, so you gotta really, you know, edit or tweak your stouts, tweak your porters for really what you're looking for.
So alcohol content usually on average is what, like, 4 to 5 or 6%, or?
So your Heineken's, your Coors Light, you know, for us, you know, there's a beer for every time of the day, right? So if, you know, you're playing softball, like, you know, me and Steve do on Sundays, it's Miller Lite. It is hot.
Right.
So what we make, you know, a lot of stuff is, you know, 4.5 is the lower boundary of our, you know, blondes and whatnot.
Okay.
But when you get, you know, what we really like to drink, those hazy IPAs, you get to that 6.5-7%, right?
Yeah. 7.5, juicy as hell.
Wow. 7.5. And then also, you guys have kombucha.
Of course.
So what's the deal with the kombucha?
Probiotics.
There we go.
Probiotics.
Right. Digestion for the win. Good.
Yep.
I like it. Is it going to be non-alcoholic kombucha, or is it going to be the alcoholic one?
So I'm Chinese. You know, we're very into those digestion, you know.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
So really where it started from was we were drinking a little too much alcohol, and we needed to replenish our systems here.
Hey.
You know,
it's instant cleansing.
It's good for a hangover.
It cures a hangover. Instant yogurt. It's like liquid yogurt that
probiotics,
you can actually drink.
Lactobacillus.
There you go.
Well, so you have various flavors of that as well that I noticed. So what's your guys' what's the process on that one?
He says, there's a great guy that works for us. His name's Kenny. Kenneth Shue.
There you go.
Anyway.
I love all these cryptic
walk a mile in those
comments. There you go. Get the rim shot for that one.
You love it.
Anyway. Where's Kenneth now? How come Kenneth can't come over here?
Anyway, great guy. But yeah, so he makes all of our kombucha. But we're not super health freaks here, so we wanted to make our kombucha taste good. So, you know, he's doing some crazy stuff right now. He's actually doing some, you know, Lihing gummy bears. He added.
Really?
I think the next thing that's coming out is a Sour Patch Kids.
Seriously,
So it has all the benefits that we need from kombucha, which is, hey, you know, regulate back our stomachs from, you know, drinking too much beer, but
it's we'll make it fun.
You know what I mean? Cool. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like Purve Donuts all over again. Kind of weird shit again.
Okay. Kids like that.
Oh, watch out. Here they come. So how often do you rotate the beers out?
Every week. Yep. So we really try to keep it going. As you know, if this is going to be our second hobby, second passion, as you know, our first show is engineering. every beer that comes out got to be something fun. So we're not going to keep pushing this standard menu of 8 beers here. We're going to keep pushing, you know, every new beer is coming out. As if one taps out, new beer is coming on. And then we're going to keep pushing all those beers to really get better. Mm. That's just something fun that we want to keep pushing and try to do.
Right. And speaking of fun, you got all the board games there for people to play. Monopoly's over there. And you got, it's a big spot. So do you guys have a lot of events where you can just hang out, or what kind of stuff do you guys have? At the university location, what kind of stuff you guys got going on?
University is definitely all about, talk story, Pauhana, enjoy friends, enjoy family, and have a good time. There's definitely board games, Jenga, stuff like that, checkers, chess, keep the kids entertained. It's definitely a family-oriented environment, so it's all about, it's just all about come as you are, get the week out of your head, and the day out of your head, and relax. Yeah.
So relaxing, I think, do people do yoga? There is yes, that is that do. A thing
we've done some beer yoga
so okay now I heard
some people do more yoga, some people do more beer,
right? And I heard these classes are majority of men doing this yoga class, which is I heard a rumor that this majority of men doing the yoga at Beer Lab. Is this a thing? That would be insanely bizarre if that's the case.
Is it hot yoga?
Well, there you go. Could it be? Is it IPA yoga?
Are you coming?
Depends if you drink before or not, right? So, but I think I see most. I think I see a fair amount of both.
Some rumors.
Amount of both.
Okay.
There's no beer yoga going on right now.
Okay,
we got rid of it.
What day does the yoga happen?
We lost our yoga instructor. We had a she. She had a kid. Then we had a he, and he left. No more beer yoga.
No need already. Okay. What about the other locations? The other things? Is it the same kind of vibe at all the Pro Ridge?
So we really party? Try to, I mean, Steven can talk a little bit about Pro Ridge, but, you know, especially in YPO. YPO is actually production brewery spot. So you want to see beer being brewed. You want to smell what it smells like, see all the big tanks.
You got a tour of that as well?
Exactly. So we got tours going on. We got some, sensory classes. If you want to take, you want to experience more beer, that's what's going on at YPO. You know, university is really, hey, you want to come and have a fun time, taste some good beer.
Yep.
That's what that's about. And then
Pearl Ridge. And then Pearl Ridge is definitely, if you're in the IA Pearl City area, want to come have a drink, please do. It's a great place to sit out traffic if you're working in that area and I got to, travel afterwards. Yeah. And then if you need to go shopping,
there you go. Forever 21.
Let certain parts of the family.
Drop your husband's
where
off.
Where in Pearl Ridge is it located?
Formerly known as Uptown Center Court.
Okay.
Yeah. Right by the elevator. All right.
Uptown Center Court.
Rainbow's open at Pearl Ridge, Sky. Did you know about that?
I'm not going to talk. You can tell me to shout out.
Yeah. Downtown.
Good. Okay. Sky, are we? Okay. I'll ask you this one. Are we going to go adventure down to a Beer Lab? Would you come down and grab a beer?
Definitely. I would definitely want to head to the university one.
Yeah, it's a chill spot.
That sounds fun. Yeah,
it's good stuff.
That sounds like a good time.
It's good stuff. And then you're going to be joining us for, we're going to do a little NBA thing later on.
We're going to cover
the free agency.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk.
What's your favorite team before we go to break here?
Minnesota Timberwolves.
Wow.
KG fan from back in the day.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Are you a sports guy too? Or do you watch basketball?
Denver Broncos.
Different sport, but that's fine. That works.
I am not a basketball fan at all.
A general question. Okay. Yeah. Not a basketball fan.
Not a basketball fan at all.
All right, sports is gonna be dealt with sooner or later. All right, let's go take a break. Once again, the guys from Beer Lab. Here we go.
Thank you.
Freeze. Let's take a break.
Don't you go anywhere. Sleep Time's Over. We'll be right back. Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger.
There we are. We're back. Yes, Sleep Time's Over is back. And our next guest, we've been trying to get this gentleman on for a while, Sky.
Yeah, very long time.
And it's going to be a fun one because
I was bugging you about getting Darryl on the show for over a year.
Oh, I tell you. I had to stem up the courage to email this. So our next guest is actor, stand-up comedian, former owner of Action Zone Wrestling for the wrestling
shout
fans.
AZW.
AZW. Remember, there's fans still. memorably known for a commercial done by a bank. That's it.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't want to, you know. Yeah, we don't want to let that drag out. Let's bring him on out. DDB, Dangerous Daryl Bonnell. Let's go. They call me Big L.A. Big Zilla. Big money. Big Billy. When I'm sliding in the mark and you hear me. I'll be slicing with these bars so you feel me. Let me rip it up because I'm the back. So we were wondering what the official theme song for you was. So, Headsprung.
Yeah, so I did, when I first started wrestling, it was The Show by Dougie Fresh.
Yes, shout out.
And then when I started doing a tag team, the Trendsetters, we started doing Headsprung by LL Cool J. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So wow. That was my two theme songs. Wow.
Classic good stuff. Jam.
Yes.
So from Waianae, Raising Waianae?
From Waianae, yeah, Makaha.
There you go, shout out right there.
Yes.
Yes. So how did you get this whole thing started? How did you start in the entertainment business?
It's like in school I got into theater.
Yeah.
Because you know when you go into like seventh grade, you can start choosing your electives, your classes. So I saw drama, and I was just thinking, oh, easy A, easy A. So took that, and then got kind of into it, and I stayed throughout high school. Did that. Yeah. Got out of high school, went right to one of the most prestigious colleges of all time in Leeward Community College.
There we go. Shout out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's West Oahu now, eh? So it's kind of stepping up. But I went to LCC, yes. Did some Hawaiian-style theater under the tutelage of Paul Cravath. And, yeah, and then, you know, like everything kind of steamrolls. You start doing shows. You start meeting people. And then from there, I met a casting agent and got that independent film that a lot of people talk about, Beyond Paradise.
Yes, yeah, shout out Beyond Paradise.
Shout out
right.
Beyond Paradise. Right.
Yes. And then that led to the bank commercial and so on and so on right. And so on, yeah.
Beyond Paradise, that very... Scott, you've seen this, right?
Yeah, man.
Excellent movie.
Yes.
You're the one in the back. Very memorable lines, to say the least.
Yes.
We'll post clips of on the video version.
Yeah, yeah.
But good stuff, yes. You're going to be a part of it. So was that the... I guess your biggest thing that led to the bank commercial? What was anything in between there that kind of... What got you noticed from Bank of Hawaii that...
Well, the movie, because up until then, I did the movie and I didn't have, like, agent or anything like that. Yeah. I was just kind of myself. And then after the movie came out, I was told, you know, you should get an agent. And so I got an agent and then I started getting auditions for commercials. I got a couple of, like, smaller commercials. And then, then I went in for an audition for the bank commercial, got it.
Yeah.
And then, we just did the one commercial and then I think a couple years went by and they just finished up the Ask Mike campaign. Cause they had the CEO was doing commercials.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so when that ended, they were trying to think of a new thing and they went back to those two guys in the car and then they brought us in and then that's where it kind of started from there.
So who created that original concept, the whole That's My Bank thing? Was it them, or was that you threw it out there?
It was in there. So the concept of the first commercial was this guy just had his first checking account. He's excited.
Okay.
And he's pointing it out throughout. The That's My Bank line wasn't in the original commercial. That came just from me just kind of spotting stuff. And then we did the second commercial, they made sure to put that in as the little punch at the end. And then it kind of stuck.
It stuck all right.
It still stuck. Yeah. It's sticking to this day.
It's still the best. I mean, best local commercial. Can we say?
Yeah. I mean, for sure.
We've seen bank commercials now.
Yes.
And they're pretty trash. And it doesn't even pale in comparison to just a simple thing that you did back in the day that just totally worked. Like they seem like the bank's trying too hard.
What year was that?
That ran from like 2000 to 2007.
Yeah.
Seven-year run, yeah.
That campaign was just awesome, man.
And then they also probably brought you back in 2002, was it, after 2000?
Yeah, so we did the one commercial 2000, and 2002 is when the campaign officially started.
Okay. Wow. There's even a bobblehead of you.
There is a bobblehead out, yeah.
Wow, do you have one?
I have one that's still in the box.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
You know,
open them up.
Yeah, that rainy day.
So, I gotta ask, is Bank of Voice still your bank?
No, they're not my bank.
Okay.
They suck.
Yeah.
So if any other banks wanna sign me up,
exactly.
It worked for the Verizon guy.
Right.
You know, he was Verizon. Now he's with Sprint.
Why not? First
genius.
Hawaiian. Right.
First Hawaiian,
call
Central Pacific. That dog's not going to stay around much longer. You know what I mean? No, he's still around now.
Like, oh, you got an awe.
You got an awe. Like.
So, the new line was, that was my bank?
That was my bank.
Wow.
That is not my bank.
Wow. We got to get you signed up. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So, okay, what got you into wrestling? Let's get right to this.
No, I was always a fan of wrestling. Always a fan. I used to go to the wrestling here locally.
Yeah.
And then I think I just came back from doing Beyond Paradise, and I was watching the local wrestling on TV.
That's right.
And I recognized some friends of mine from LCC
that
were now doing wrestling.
Was that World League Wrestling?
Yeah, World League Wrestling with Lars Anderson.
Lars Anderson, that's right.
They would just do interviews.
Yes.
And then would have one show a year. And then just show old clips of Lars Anderson every single week. Yeah.
Louis Borja was the interviewer.
Yes, he was, yeah.
And then it was like Superfly Tui.
They had three wrestlers that would interview.
The Metal Maniac was
Metal Maniac was one. And
they
then,
just was talking.
And they would just and they would talk about a match that never happened.
So right. It was so bizarre. Where did they film this?
That was at Kalakaua Gym. Like, people would be working out in the background. And they'd be like, Mr. Lars Anderson.
Right. It was on Olelo. It was so bizarre.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, I can do this.
You got it.
Because I was like, okay, at least I can do interviews or promos. So I kind of contacted Lars and then first kind of talked about wrestling, and then I decided, nah, maybe not about getting in the ring. And then maybe I was telling him, well, if you need an announcer, I can come down. And then I went to just meet him and watch the show, and he put me right then and there. He just gave me a mic. He said, hey, go in the ring and introduce this first match.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he just kind of threw me out there, and So I introduced the first match, sat down, and he's like, hey, why don't you do some commentary for it? I was like, all right. And then he just had me coming back every week, and that's kind of how it started.
Wow. How was meeting Lars Anderson knowing what you knew, and as we watch local wrestling, this presence of Lars? Larry Hainimi.
Yeah.
How was his demeanor?
He's pretty much exactly like how you see him on TV.
Really?
Like, yeah, he's not much different. He's kind of low-key. He's a pretty low-key guy. Yeah, he's pretty chill.
Yeah.
He always treated me nice. He was fine. So, yeah, really quiet guy.
So who was back then? Was there a Mr. Majestic?
Yeah, Mr. Majestic. Wow. He was my favorite of mine.
No one's going to know what we're talking about
right now. Mr. Majestic. Yeah, he was good, man. You guys should look him up.
There was him. Yeah, right. And he was a talker.
He was. Then there was El Magnifico.
Wow.
God. Yeah, see.
This is like
me and you just, in our own world right now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
And they're like, we're speaking a foreign language to them.
Right now. Yes.
Full disclaimer, I'm the owner of Beer Lab.
See?
Yeah, see? Okay, we got him back. Just swerve. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean.
Just the GM.
Yeah. Just.
I got to throw out that Louis Borja that you even know, and we're even mentioning Louis Borja in 2019. Is just bizarre to me right now, because he was the interview guy.
He was.
And what was his deal? Because he looked like he was like an avid gambler or something. He looked like some kind of problem.
He was gone by the time I came.
Oh, he was not there.
Yeah, and we haven't seen him since. So
okay,
who knows?
Right? He knows the body's buried somewhere. Yeah. So from World League Wrestling, that was, what was that, late 90s? What time frame were we looking at?
Like 97, maybe, 1997.
And then from there, where did wrestling go?
It was like at that time, you had a lot of people trying to start their own wrestling promotions. Yeah. So it was like a lot of like one and done shows. Like they would start their promotion, like, we're the new hot thing.
Right.
Do a couple of shows and then fizzle out. The next big thing, fizzle out. And then you had like the NWA Hawaii for a little bit.
That's
and then
right.
I got involved with that when that first started up. And then Hawaii Championship Wrestling.
HCW,
and that's kind of was the one I was in. For the most part,
yeah.
And then after I left that, the next time you saw me was when I started AZW.
Right. So was the Dangerous Daryl Bonilla started from HCW, or was that even back in World League Wrestling?
Yeah, that was World League Wrestling, the Dangerous Daryl Bonilla thing, yeah.
Because HCW, then they moved into, it seemed to have better production values for their show.
Yeah, no, that was like, of all the like upstarts, that was kind of, was the one that had the most potential.
Yeah.
Because when they started, they had the production, they had the look, and you know, had that excitement of like, okay, this is something different. But just like everything else, you know, it kind of, you know, you get the like you get people that run it, but they're not fans of wrestling, or they don't get to understand like the fans. So they're like that HCW kind of failed because they were kind of booking for like people that aren't even here. They're like, their whole dream was like, oh, we wanna you know, get Japanese to come here and watch wrestling. It's like, yeah, well, sooner or later, the Japanese tourists going to leave.
Right.
And the only people left is the local fans. And so you got to kind of give them something to be proud of. So, like, so if you bring in all these talents from the mainland, that's great. But when they leave, you got to make sure, you know, your local wrestlers are something, you know, that you can root for. Like, that's my guy.
Right.
That's my promotion.
That was always the thing with Hawaii wrestling. They just bank on these mainland guys. And once they leave, then who else we got left? We got Kini Popo number one and Kini Popo number two. Or,
you know,
Kamala Mala. And no one's going to know what we're talking about.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
So HCW, then from there, was that where you got the idea to just, I'm just going to do my own thing?
Yeah, you know, kind of a combination of, like, you know, because having ideas and then just not seeing things, you know, you get kind of frustrated because you're like, man, there's so much potential here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then, of course, I'm of the mindset of, like, if you think you can do something better, then do it.
Yeah.
Instead of just talking about it. So, but I was smart about it. I waited. So I took off. I was doing some theater work. So I was doing that. And I wanted to make sure I did the research, make sure I had the funding and stuff like that. Because this is all me. So it wasn't like I had some, you know, somebody funding me, some sponsors. It was all me out of my pocket. Wow. So I just made sure I did the research and did about a year of, you know, making sure, you know, the profits and everything was ready to go. And then I finally did it in 05.
2005.
Yes.
Action Zone Wrestling. And Philcom was always the main spot.
Eventually, yeah, because we actually, Philcom was still just open, and we were like one of the first real sports things to kind of use the Philcom, and that kind of became our thing. So, because we started in June, and our first show at Philcom was that August.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were still pretty new as well.
Crazy. Best match you've ever seen in AZW?
My favorite match was Kaimana, who is a bartender at the Beer Lab, that ladies and gentlemen.
Shout out Kaimana.
That is correct.
Kaimana.
See, it's that's all right. Relative.
That's right. Him
all
versus Mr. Athletic Jeff Cobb.
Wow. There you go. Yes.
Great
shout
match.
Out Jeff Cobb.
It was their,
we saw that match.
Yeah, it was March. Their first match for the title where Kaimana first became the champion. That's still my favorite match in AZW.
Nice. Nice. We got a lot of fans of AZW in the crowd here. Sky, you're
I saw that match. I saw that match. Our Ben the Lord Flores here and I, the first AZW show I took him to, Kaimana, Mark Anarchy, the All Out, breaking the tables.
Oh, right. Yeah, he just powerbombed Mark Anarchy from the ring to the
One of the most insane, like, matches ever, too. That was, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was, we did some cool stuff in AZW.
My God.
We did some really, really cool
loved
stuff.
Loved it.
Oh, that was the same show. That's right.
Mr.
Oh, yes. There was a Mr. Fitness. That's right.
Who had a short but very memorable run in AZW. He had a two-show run.
Yes.
But that's what made it fun is just the entertainment value of all these characters.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
You know what we were doing as far as the marketing, as far as these guys that we can relate to.
Like I said, like, it wasn't about, you know, like, you can throw as much money on your product as but it's always about how you present it.
Yeah.
So, like I said, if you serve steak, but you serve it on a trash can lid, it doesn't look as good.
Right.
You know, so it's all about presentation. So my thing was like, hey, we just got to have good characters that people can relate to.
Yeah.
And just make it about the matches. And just that's what we did. It was real simple storytelling, simple matches. And and just make it fun.
That's
it.
That's
cool
all
merch. And you guys got cool merch.
Cool merch.
Cool merch was there. Yep.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
A little bit something for everybody, right? So we had like, if you weren't a fan of a certain wrestler, somebody was. So we had something for everybody. Kind of like the Beer Lab. We had the flavor for every single buddy. See how I tie in things?
Wonderfully.
All in, man.
This is why this gentleman's on, everyone. See, it's all relative. Tied in. So, got to go with, if you had a chance to do an AZW reunion show, what would be your dream card? Like, we go four matches or three matches. What would you? Kaimana versus Kaimana.
Yeah.
Wow.
I gotta always dig into the well of Kaimana versus Jeff Cobb one more time.
Yep.
Nice.
I'm always gonna go for that. Let's see.
Biggest stars you've had there as you're thinking this over.
Like locally, or
you brought guys from the mainland too? Or
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles is right, yes.
AJ Styles, Jamie Noble.
Yes.
Sami Zayn, who you guys know as he was El Generico at the time, Sami Zayn. Dragon Gate, we had Dragon Gate. A lot of the Dragon Gate superstars came down.
Yeah,
we had quite a few. We have Christopher Daniels.
Yes, still
Teddy
going.
Hart.
Wow. Controversial.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, he still was. And then, yeah, we had a little bit of everything. The Von Erichs came in towards the end.
Yeah, the Von Erichs was
The Von Erich brothers, yeah, and they were super cool. So,
nice, yeah.
Yeah, we had quite a... That was always a thing. Like, a lot of people would always say, how are you getting these guys?
Yeah.
And part of it was just being straight up with them and not BSing them. I was one of the few promoters that they'd be like, man, you one of the few promoters that you tell us exactly what right. you're going to give, what you're going to do, and what's going to happen, and you keep your word. And that was always my thing, just be honest. Like, hey, man, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
Is this cool? Cool. You're going to have a good time. And they all did, so.
It worked.
Yeah.
It totally worked. Any other matches that would come to mind that you would want to?
I would love to see the Von Erichs. I wish I got to. That was the only thing about like when I stopped and retired and everything was like not getting to see more stuff with the Von Erichs and you know, in the tag team ranks. You know, I wanted to do a lot of stuff with them with some of the tag teams here. You know, the Von Erichs. I wanted them against Invincible. It was one match that I always kind of wanted to set up. Never really got a chance to, but you know, was hoping to down the line. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff. You know, I wish I could bring some guys back. Like, one of my favorite guest performers was Super Hentai, who was always a favorite of mine. So he was always good. So, yeah.
No one's going to know who we're talking about.
And if you Google Super Hentai, don't get mad at what might pop up. If it's not the wrestler.
It might not be. Yeah. Wow. So I still keep up with current wrestling?
I try to. I not as much as I used to, but I try to kind of keep up as much. You know, I still want to be in the know, so when I get a chance to. But hard, man. There's so much wrestling, but, you know, you got to find the time. Got to find the time.
Time, not as fun, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a little different now.
Thoughts on AEW? Have you been watching that?
I've just saw clips. Some stuff I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
Some stuff is like, eh.
Right.
So it's kind of hit or miss, but the stuff they do really well is really, really good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's too far between. Though,
yeah. Right? So it's kind of like.
It's hard.
So I hope, but, you know, I'm always a fan of having options. So the fact that there's going to be some other wrestling on TV that's, you know, not WWE is always good. So, but.
Finally.
Yeah. So hopefully it's an alternative, but not like WWE Lite or something like that.
Right. But yeah, it's basically what I've been seeing is that's what it looks like, though, which is kind of scary and sad. So,
so hopefully, yeah, it's something.
Back to just watching old AZW clips. So, getting back to Hawaii stuff, and being that you've been on Hawaii television quite a lot, I just wanted to throw out, if you could do a Mount Rushmore of Hawaii moments in television, or in TV and movies, what would it be your top four most memorable local things that have happened on in television?
Television or movies?
Or movies. Could even go commercials. And I can show you my... list of things.
Jack Lord. Lord, Hawaii, the original Hawaii 5-0.
Yep.
You know, you gotta put him up there.
The OG McGarrett.
Yeah, OG McGarrett. Nothing wrong with the new McGarrett, but the OG McGarrett. you gotta put like for the wrestling people, you know, the Missing Link.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
wow. You know, how's that?
Oh, look, I got applause for that
there
one.
You go. There we go.
How long? It took a while to get that first applause. It took the Missing Link.
Right. Go figure with that one. Right. We lost them at wrestling, so you know they've checked out.
Then you gotta put North Shore up there. You gotta put North Shore, the movie up there.
The Bible
yes,
to Hawaii.
That was that was the Ten Commandments of Hawaii.
Correct. Right. Yes. Lord giveth, Lord taketh.
Yes. Yep. Nobody, you know, it gave us turtle.
That's
if
right.
anything, it gave us turtle.
Exactly. Changed.
1987.
Changed 1987 was that?
Yes. Kapi'olani Theater. I seen them opening day.
Wow. Kapi'olani Theater.
Yep. It's a Papa John's now.
That's right. That is right. Hashtag being old. Yes.
Yes. And then Beyond Paradise. Beyond Paradise. Yeah.
There you go. Of course.
People still talk about that movie like it's new.
It's a great... Hopefully everybody has seen it as much as North Shore. That's all I gotta say.
I feel like people have.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no,
because it's a great one.
I remember one time going to the theater to watch it, and there was some girls in the theater watching it, and one of the girls was like, "I have to go to the bathroom. Come with me." And the other friend's like, "No, I don't want to go." And she's like, "No, you gotta come with me." And she's like, "No, I'm trying to watch the movie." And the girl's like, "You've only seen this movie like 17 times." So I truly believe that people have seen it.
I think people have seen it,
And people talk about it all the time. So like when people, but the best thing is when people see me and they go, "Oh, you're the guy from that movie, right? Beyond Paradise." Yeah. And I was like, "Yeah." They go, "Wow, you look different." And I'm like, "That movie's 20 something years old." Like, that movie wasn't made last year.
Wow.
That movie is
Freeze. You seen that movie? There you go. See?
A lot of clips, yeah.
Hungry Hungry for a Win. He was on a streak of posting clips.
Yeah, like
from
I was yeah, I was getting tagged.
Is it up
like
on YouTube?
Crazy.
And
is
the
it
movie's
up on
YouTube?
YouTube. It's on YouTube now.
The full movie's on YouTube.
The full
movie's
on YouTube.
Yeah. Right. But what caused the whole Hungry Hawaiian posting like a series of Do you even know?
I don't know. Yeah, I just started getting tagged and I was like, "What am I getting tagged for?" And it was like, "Oh, you was on Hungry Hawaiian." I was like, "Is that what's that? What is that, huh?"
That was Hawaii's Boys in the Hood, man.
Yeah, definitely.
That was.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good one. Yeah, that was equivalent to that. That's a good lineup. Do people still come up to you with the That's My Bank thing? Do people still bother you and annoy
every
the
day.
Hell out of you?
Oh, shit. Every day. If I leave the house, it'll happen at least once.
Oh, you the guy, huh? They do that.
You the guy. Or they do the, like, where you far away and they got to say it. And that's my bank. And then they just kind of wait. But I just keep walking.
Forget
so then
it.
That way they feel like, "Oh, that's not the guy. Oh, that wasn't
yes,
a guy."
Yes, good.
The mailman. Yeah.
Wow, so I'm going to throw some moments at you here, see if you remember. One that always comes to mind from Kid Time days was the commercial where Frank DeLima has to choose between going to Casey Drive-In or going to Wisteria.
Yep.
Where he has to go, "I will go Casey Drive-In and get the waffle hot dog, or I can go with Stuka Doc's tube, and I'm so confused." And he splits in two.
Yes.
As a kid, I was like, "Wow, it's two Frank DeLimas." So that was one. I got it. Sky, do you remember this commercial?
Yeah,
are we really getting old
one.
Right now?
I remember that one.
All right.
Remember that one, yep.
This is like mid-80s. Or Wisteria, yeah. Shout out Wisteria.
Yeah, yes. Wisteria, man.
So then I got to go that. I got to go Beyond Paradise, legitimately, not to kiss your ass. It was like excellent movie. Excellent movie. North Shore, we got to go it. And then for wrestling, I got to go. We got to go Ripper Collins.
Oh, Ripper Collins. Yeah. If you're not going Missing Link, then you definitely go Ripper Collins. Yeah.
Ripper Collins as an announcer, as a commentator. You remember like back in the Polynesian Pacific?
Yeah, when I first started watching wrestling, he was a commentator.
Right.
Then I got to see his old footage when he used to wrestle and enjoyed watching him just make Hawaii fans so mad.
He was a guy that
he would just antagonize
them. He was that Major Hollick. Yep. But
his
commentary was always something where he never really knew the moves or the names of the moves. And it would just be, "Wow!" You just make that noise. You just always would yell. And he'd be like, "I don't know Dunbar. I don't know how she does it. I don't know how Leah Maivia brings this top talent." And then Dunbar just goes, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah.
And then it was just, that alone was entertaining to me.
That's well, Joe Rogan does that now.
It's that, right? So he watched Ripper
Collins.
It worked. It's a formula that works.
Pay me.
Swerve there. Yes. Sky, we went to go see this man not too long ago for our friend Shane Lucas Price. He had an event at Hawaiian Brian's.
Yeah, that's right.
He had the live recording.
Yes.
And we have to say, quite simply, that this man, he destroyed that night. He was on fire.
It was a fun show. That was a fun show.
It was a great show. We found him the most entertaining, right? We were there.
We're talking about you here. For real. You're incredible.
This man, catch this man stand-up show because, you know, there's a lot of stand-up in Hawaii is a very strange.
But shout out, you know. Yeah, like
it's very strange in
because
Hawaii.
You know what? We don't get that local humor that we can relate to. You know
exactly.
What I mean? So we were crying laughing.
Oh, nice.
And but you know, half the crowd was like hipsters.
Yeah.
So they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So
we were there and we was like we were there for Shane and there was several opening acts and we're not going to call out any names here, but it was just the humor that they're giving us is just unrelatable. Like they're not talking about stuff that we can relate day to day and they're just talking about relationships and my wife and things of that nature that just sounded there's wives in Hawaii, but it's just not local where we can just like how you were talking about just dating or just talking about how you're dealing with your wife in the sense that we can understand.
Yeah.
And that's what killed it. And it was just fantastic. Yeah.
And like I said, I just gonna do my jokes and whether it's like whoever's in the audience is like and that's what I kinda learned when I first started doing comedy was like I'll try to change the way I deliver jokes depending on where I was. And then I just realized, you know what? Chris Rock doesn't change the way he delivers his lines. You know, none of these guys change the way. So just be me. If it's funny, it's funny. And hopefully everybody relates. And if not, then they'll just laugh because everybody else is laughing and just kind of follow along. Like,
there's that.
No, but you have it's authentic. You know, it's natural.
Yeah,
it's like talking, you talk like it's talking story with your friends, and that's all real stuff.
So what I'm talking about is all like, I don't make it up. So it's all like real. So that's kind of where the humor comes in.
Yeah.
And so I think people kind of recognize that. That's gotta be real. Nobody gonna make that up.
And you how long have you been doing stand-up now?
6 years?
Wow.
6 years? Yeah, started in 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, keep it up, man, because stand-up in Hawaii is just in a funk, it seems like. I don't know. It's just we need more guys like you that can just relate. Cause
you know what, though? I gotta say, yeah. If there's any time right now, you guys should really start coming on, check it out. Because some of these, the scene right now, some of these young comedians coming up, they're really, really good. Like, we got a show, I'm not too sure when this airs, on the July 20th at Hawaiian Brian's.
Okay.
That lineup is pretty good. That's a stacked lineup. Like, that's guys that I enjoy watching as well. So, yeah, so... Don't be, like I said, so a lot of times people watch like maybe open mics and that's a little rough sometimes, but you got to understand like that's everybody's developing their act.
Right,
they're developing their act. So even like me, when I start trying new material, which is what you're going to probably start seeing now, like as I, because usually the way I do new material is I slowly kind of put new material in the old stuff and then slowly morph the old stuff out and then get the new stuff in. But, you know, it's always rough in the beginning, but you got to kind of let it marinate. Mm-hmm. And in time you'll see like, oh, okay, I see where they're going with this, but. No, right now, because there's shows every night, and so a lot of these guys are getting a chance to do repetition and do more. Just like anything, the more you work it, the better you get at it. And you start seeing this in the scene right now.
Who do you think are the local guys? Yeah, who are the local guys right now?
Right now, like, somebody who's really hot is Tumua, Tune.
He's funny.
He just did a show down in Kaneohe, so he's really fun, funny guy, really cool guy. Real topical, you know, if you guys talk about local stuff too, he's very local, his humor, and it's pretty clean. So, you know what I mean? And which is always kind of rare too sometimes, so, but a lot of us, you know, some of us, we still do that clean stuff. So, and he's one of them. And so he's really fun. He's going to be the next kind of big thing, I think, here in Hawaii.
Great to hear.
Yeah.
Because we've always looked at who's going to take the next step as being like the next Andy Bumatai or the next Replinger. We always look at that as, you know, just because we're old. But we would like to see who are those next guys that would take the mantle of being the next local comics that will still build up. So that's great that's
Yeah, no, for sure.
Growing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Right. Definitely come out to the shows. You know, you get stuff at Anna O'Brien's, you get stuff at Hawaiian Brian's, O'Toole's, they do stuff at King's Pizza. You know, there's something going on every night. And
they got Square Barrels. That's
Square Barrels. Yeah, on Thursday nights. Yeah, Square Barrels. Yes.
Woo! Oh, we got
Square Barrels. Square Barrels.
We do have. Yes. Believe it or not, we have Square Barrels in the house tonight. Everyone's favorite Holly is here.
Yep.
So any shows coming up for you? What do you got coming up?
So I got the show this on the 20th, Saturday at Hawaiian Brian's.
Yep.
And then I'll be on stage at Kumukuhu Theater, doing some acting in this show called Uapau. Really, really kind of powerful local piece by Alani Apio.
Tell us about this.
This is basically like the trilogy. So this is the final play in this three-part trilogy. The first show premiered, I believe, in 1995. That was the first show I saw for this theater. And I saw it, I was like, man, I got to do some shows at this theater. It's that powerful. They did the sequel about 5 years later, I believe. And then, it's been a while waiting for this one, but it's finally going to debut, so it's kind of wrapping it up. It's a really, really powerful trilogy, you know what I mean? And it's something that, you know, something for everybody from Hawaii, Hawaiians, locals, everything, you know, it's a powerful piece to kind of watch. So, and I play, you know, kind of different than normal type, but it's pretty intense. So,
a serious guy.
Yeah, so you're not going to see too much like Daryl Bonilla, ha ha ha, but it's pretty intense stuff, but it's fun to play.
When is this going to be
happening? It opens August 22nd,
okay.
And it runs through September 22nd at Kumukuhu Theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Sky, any last thoughts to give this gentleman here?
No, man. We're just fans, and thank you for doing this.
No, I appreciate it, man. Yeah.
Really happy that you're here, man.
Sorry it took a year.
Well, I was bugging.
I had to wait till the restraining order ended, so it's all good now. Everything's clear now, so I can be in public
everything
again.
Sign off. Everything good. Enough.
Yes.
Good. Because that's when I was going to all the AZW shows.
And then
I was just listening to podcasts. I wasn't on it.
Yeah.
You know, eventually I was on. I was super fan, and then I just got
we
on it.
We wanted to do like an AZW reunion. And it's like this guy,
and he goes and he retires.
I know. Oh, timing.
Sorry.
But bottom line, you made it. You made it on here. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Daryl Bonilla, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Sleep Time's Over. Time's over. No sleeping tonight.